Let's open with a word of prayer this morning. Father, we thank you that the veil has been rent, your flesh, and the way has been opened, and we have access to your throne. And we can come boldly to the throne of grace. So guide us and lead us this morning, Lord, as we pray as you would have us to pray, and direct our steps by your word, and let no iniquity have dominion over us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this morning we're actually going to look at a song in the Bible. It's called Moses' Song. It's 40-some verses long, and we're just going to look at the first four verses of it. And the context in Deuteronomy 32 is that the children of Israel are just about ready to go into the promised land. And so in chapter 31, we had chapter 29, we had the covenant renewed in Moab, and they had seen all of these miracles, great trials, your eyes have seen the signs and those great wonders, yet the Lord has not given you a heart to perceive. So they had great trials and signs, saw great wonders, and yet verse 4 of chapter 29 says, yet the Lord has not given you a heart to perceive and eyes to see and ears to hear to this very day. And what a tragic statement, really. After 40 years, really, of preparation, after being given the total law over and over and read to them in the face of all of these great miracles and wonders, and yet they didn't get it. They didn't get it, spiritually speaking. They saw the wonders. They saw their shoes didn't wear out. They saw their clothes didn't tatter. They saw the manna never stop. They saw the water being provided, and yet they didn't get it. And so the Lord is going to tell them, reminding them again of the blessings and the cursings, the blessings of being obedient to the Lord and the cursings of not being obedient. And then in chapter 31, we have Joshua named as the new leader of Israel. And then as we go on into 31, we read where the law, or basically the book of Deuteronomy, to a degree probably, was to be read to all the people, including the children, every 7 years. So we have three witnesses given to us today that God is giving to the children of Israel. The first witness is the law, is the Deuteronomy that's going to be read every 7 years. The second one is going to be this song that God instructed Moses to write. And the third witness we have in verse 28 of chapter 31 is the heavens and the earth. The heavens and the earth are the third witness. So we wanted to look today just at this song, and we're just going to look at the first four verses of this song. And It's really very tragic here in a sense. In verse 14 in chapter 31, the Lord said to Moses, behold, the days approach when you must die. Call Joshua and present yourself in the tabernacle of meeting that I may inaugurate him. So Moses and Joshua went and presented themselves in the tabernacle of meeting. Now the Lord appeared at the tabernacle in a pillar of cloud, and the pillar of cloud stood above the door of the tabernacle. And the Lord said to Moses, behold, you will rest with your fathers. Here's the tragic part. And this people will rise and play the harlot with the gods of the foreigners of the land where they go to be among them. And they will forsake me and break my covenant, which I have made with them. So how tragic are those words? How tragic would they be to Moses? How tragic would they be to Joshua? Even more so, in a way, Joshua and Moses have spent the last 40 years with these people, pouring themselves into them, and now Joshua has been told that he's going to be the one to take them into the land, the promised land. Oh, once we get to the promised land, all will be well, and we'll be with the Lord forever. That's not the Jordan River. They're going to have these battles there, and they're not going to stay with the Lord. Even after the third generation, they're going to turn into idolatry. So tragic. And God knows this, so God is telling them this. And then he says, my anger shall be aroused against them in that day, and I will forsake them, and I will hide my face from them, that they shall be devoured, and many evils and troubles shall befall them. And then he goes on to say in verse 19, now therefore, Moses, write down this song for yourselves and teach it to the children of Israel. Put it in their mouths that this song may be a witness for me against the children of Israel. Because after they get into that land and they've grown fat, they will turn to other gods and serve them, and they will provoke me. Then it shall be when many evils and troubles have come upon them that this song will testify against them as a witness. For it will not be forgotten in the mouths of their descendants. For I know the inclination of their behavior today, even before I brought them into the land of which I swore to them. Then Moses wrote this song the same day and taught it to the children of Israel. So it was when Moses completed, then God told him, take the book of the law and put it in the Ark of the Covenant beside the Lord, beside the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, that it may be there as a witness against you. So that, as I mentioned, was the first witness. The second witness is this song. And then on down into verse 28, gather to me all the elders of your tribes and your officers that I may speak these words in their hearing and call heaven and earth to witness against them. So even though we're in a fallen world, the earth is reliable, the heavens are reliable, and the heavens show forth the glory of God. And even in Romans 1, we have no one is without excuse, because everybody sees God through the creation. Everybody. And that's very comforting to me, to know that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Verse 29, for I know after my death you will become utterly corrupt and turn aside from the way which I commanded you, and evil will befall you in the latter days, because you will do evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger through the work of your hands. So those of you who sometimes complain of the praise songs today and being very lightweight and being very fluff, 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 we got a heavy one here. This is a heavy song. So you want a heavy song, here's a heavy song. We'll only look at the first four verses. The first four verses are of the character of God. Now, in this song, basically, it's going to be like a miniature court of law. There are going to be different witnesses that are brought in to demonstrate what God is saying here. And the very first ones, we start out with the witness, the best witness, that's God himself. So we read verse 30, then Moses spoke in the hearing of all the assembly of Israel the words of this song until they were ended. And the first one then is, give ear, O heavens. Give ear, O heavens, and I will speak. So the heavens are to listen to the Lord. And hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. God is speaking to the heavens. God is speaking to the earth, the words of his mouth. And then we have a beautiful picture here of the word of God. Verse 2, let my teaching drop as the rain, my speech distill as the dew, as raindrops on the tender herb, and as showers on the grass. I don't know if you think of the word of God that way, but this is a beautiful picture, isn't it? Let the teaching drop as rain. This is particularly important in the eastern climate where this was, because it's so deserty and rain was so rare, almost as rare as California, right? But no, much more rare than California. But let the teaching drop as rain. And that's life, isn't it? Water is life. Another thought that occurred to me, there's an app you can put on your phone that's the sound of rain. And if you are ever in a sleepy condition, in a noisy area where you can't sleep because it's so noisy, you can turn that app on, and the threshold of that sound will drown out the other sounds. And one night I was in Russia with one of our missionaries, and in the same room, and he said, do you mind if I turn on this rain app? And I said, I don't know, what is that? And he said, oh, it will drown out all the other noise. I always sleep with it because we have a lot of noise where we sleep, and I can't sleep otherwise. So I said, well, how loud is it? He said, well, I turn it up pretty loud. So I said, okay. So he turns it up, and this sound comes on. If you haven't heard it, it's great. It's kind of like almost like a pleasant staticky sound, you know. But pretty soon you focus in on that sound, and you don't hear it anymore. And the other noises, so I usually don't do that, but if I'm in a place where the disco is banging away at late hours of the night, and some of these people, you know, they don't get to bed until we get up, right? And so banging away all night, and so you can turn that on. Anyway, as pleasant as the rain sounds, and as pleasant as the dropping of the rain is, that's the way the teaching is told here, to put that picture in your mind. And then my speech distill as the dew. You know, there's nothing more pure than distilled water, is it? And so we see this distilled water forming on the blades of grass and so forth in the dew. And it's a beautiful picture, but that's how the Word of God is coming and starting to work on us and form on us. And it's a beautiful, pure thing that is very, very beautiful to behold. And raindrops on the tender herb. Have you ever thought about the miracle of raindrops? Where do they come from? And if you look at the tonnage of rain, of water that falls on just 1 inch of rain, on, say, covering an acre, which is a pretty small area, really, it's huge. Thousands and thousands of tons of water fall. Where do they come from? Well, God in His infinite wisdom with this hydrological cycle causes the waters from the ocean primarily to evaporate. They go up into the atmosphere, and there are very minuscule dust particles that this water forms on, and it forms and it grows until it gets big enough to overcome the gravity takes hold and pulls it down to the earth. So it has to be just right before the drop is too small or it evaporates in the air, and not too big. Otherwise, when the drop hits the tender herbs, what's going to happen? It's going to strip all the leaves off of them. But here it says, that's the way His word is. It's as raindrops on the tender herb. So God's word, while it's very convicting and can be like a hammer and like fire, it also has that aspect of being gentle on us, doesn't it? And then as showers on the grass. You know, I just love in the spring, particularly when we get rain here, because you've seen the grass with its response to the sprinklers and having water keeps it alive. But when the rain falls, it's a whole nother color, isn't it? So it's that showers on the grass. That's the way His word, you should be open to that, of having, receiving that. And then verse 3, for I proclaim the name of Yahweh. We don't even know how to pronounce Yahweh. In the original, it was four consonants, Y-H-V-H, and you put the consonants in it of Jehovah. Some think it's Jehovah. We don't know. Or you can say Yahweh. We don't know. Or you can just say capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, as the King James would have, and you're right. But proclaim the name of the awesome God of the Bible, the right, true, one and only God. Ascribe greatness to our God. How great is your God? Do you ever think of ascribing the greatness to our God that is there? And then verse 4, as rock is given four times in this song, He is the rock. What does a rock stand for? Well, it's one, it's thing is stability. It stands for it's immovable, permanent, never failing. He is our rock. His work is perfect. His work is perfect. For all His ways are justice. Sometimes people say, well, how, you know, is so-and-so saved or so-and-so saved? What do you think? And, of course, the answer is, yeah, we don't know. But we know one thing, God's judgment on that person and all persons will be perfect and it will be just, won't it? We even see in the book of Revelation where the multitudes are going to the great white throne judgment to be cast out. They all know it's the right judgment. There's no complaining on, I shouldn't go here. Yes, that's where you chose to go. A God of truth and without injustice. And then finally, righteous and upright is He. Do we serve a great God or what? Huh? Well, as we pray this morning, just be aware that He is in us. As we read in John 14, I mentioned this a number of times, but Jesus said, if you love me and keep my commandments, my what? Father will love you, and we will come and make our home in you. We will come and dwell in you. Dwell means to live permanently. So do you have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit in your heart this morning? Is your whole room in your heart open for him, or do you have a couple of rooms still partitioned off and say, well, God, you can have the rest of this, but this over here, I'm going to hold on to because this is really important. I really worked hard for this, and I'm not going to let it go. We want to surrender to him and give him all our heart, right? So we want to pray this morning for the usual. We want to pray for the lost always. We want to pray for the church around the world. We want to pray for world leaders. We want to pray even for the Olympics, Lord, that the Lord might be glorified in that. And we see, people coming together and how long that's going to last, we don't know. But at least at the time, it looks good, everybody coming together. But may hearts be stirred, because the Lord is always beckoning, isn't he? And there's so much worldly stuff going on. And so we want to pray for the Lord to be glorified there. And other things that the Spirit puts on, the Spirit will put on each of your heart something. And when you feel that move, then pray. If you don't feel that mood, we'll just keep silent. Prayer is supposed to be two ways, isn't it? We're supposed to listen to him as well as talk to him. And many of our prayer sessions, it's just we talk, and we never listen at all. And usually those prayer sessions never go anywhere because they're not led by the Spirit. They're just led by people wanting to talk. So keep your prayers short, because I don't think the Spirit is going to have any of us pray more than a few seconds, 30 seconds, maybe a minute, maybe two most. And then we can all pray. And so then in about half an hour, a little less, we'll break into groups of two where half of us can pray all the time. And there you can pray on whatever you are led to pray for as well. Father, we thank you for this song that tells of your greatness. And Lord, we recognize we are corrupt by nature, fallen by nature, born of Adam. And yet, Lord, you have saved us. And we come not in our own filth, but in your righteousness, Lord, in your white robes of righteousness of your Son, Lord. And so, Father, direct us now as we pray, and may you be honored in these prayers, in Jesus' name. Amen.